Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, there are many people today doing what is unwise, and there's many people who are doing what is wise. But if there is a real difficulty that comes along in our world, in our society, please help all of us through these hard events that are looking like they're going to happen. Give us the wisdom and give us the fellowship to be able to get through these things that are coming upon us, Lord God. I mean, I'm a history guy, and I see that they sure could be coming, but I pray for grace and mercy in the midst of them. Thank you, in Jesus' name. There's a lot of things in the news and things in the world. And I know, as I talk to church people, they say things like, oh, Jesus has got to be coming any day now. Oh, Jesus is getting closer and closer to coming. And yes, it's true, but it's also true that there are times when our expectations are drawn out. And that's a biblical pattern that I've seen, where people are expecting an event and it just doesn't happen. So, Lord, guide us and give us mercy through whatever is coming up, and let us recognize you throughout all of it. Now, I think of New Year's, which is right now, and all the cultural celebrations that are going to happen. They happen in many ways. All sorts of things go on in these days, and people celebrate a new year. They say, out with the old and in with the new, and they look forward to wonderful things happening in the next year. That's just in every culture. Oh, I have been to New Year celebrations where that's the kind of thing that they talk about. They want something better. And so, there's a lot of things that are better. And so, yes, Lord, we ask for better. We want things to be better. And so, help us, Lord God, to do your will, and then let things be better in this new coming year. Hooray! So, That's what I want to say. Every culture has these celebrations about a new hope for the new year. And we do that too. Sometimes, often, there is drinking that goes on with a new year celebration. And sometimes there's drunkenness too. But, oh yes, we ask for protection for all the people that we love and know, and even the ones we don't know. We don't want hard things to happen. So we ask for protection from the hard things that just might happen. Keep us alive, we pray in Jesus' name. Oh, so life, so much to celebrate in life, so many good things. Now, for some people, alcohol is a part of it, and we just don't want stupid things to go on. We don't want people to die or be injured. So this New Year's, take care of yourself and stay protected. Take care of other people that you care about and love. We want them to be protected too and not have stupid things happening to them. Just be careful and consider what your long-term desires and goals are. That's one of the things people do when we go into a new year. They think about what's going to happen next. And there's so many possibilities about what will happen next. Will it be wonderful or will it have difficulty? Well, probably a little bit of both. So, Lord, help us. And we also pray for sobriety so that people don't make difficult, life-changing decisions, but that they have things work pretty easy. Yes, Heavenly Father, guide us and protect us and give us your love and your mercy, we pray in Jesus' name. Reasonable. What is reasonable to expect? What is reasonable to want? What is reasonable to do in this new year that is coming up? So there are certainly some things that we want to change, do better, and improve. So think about it. Make a plan, and then do them. We can look back on the last year just so that we can see if mistakes were made and how we can do things better. So that's a part of looking into the new year, is so that we have a better direction and consider things that just might not be good for us. So with whatever things that are confronting us, whether it's a personal issue, personal relationship issue, or whether it's a money thing, or whether it's a government concern, all these things are really things that could affect us greatly. Society has a big effect on a lot of situation also. So, Lord, help us to have discernment so that we are able to understand the direction that we want to go into and have a plan and a purpose that fits in with your will and your plan. Have that direction. Do things as good as you can be. Now, that means really good. You can do things really good, and we just seem to give ourselves excuses for doing something that is less than good. But don't do that. Have an understanding of what is good, and then hold yourself to those higher standards. And there are people who really don't care what happens to you, and they say, go drink, have fun, and they don't care if you crash or go in a hospital or die. They just it's not something that matters to them. Therefore, you have to protect yourself and the people you love. And that's what you do. A whole lot of that is done when you are sober and of a strong mind. So keep that into your heart and your mind, and keep Jesus in your heart and your mind. Now, we have people all over this nation of ours who want the best, but they just don't have the strength to do it. I hope that you do. Know what is the best and then do what is the best. You are in charge of what's going to happen to you. Isn't it wonderful to have that kind of a freedom? We are free and we are not slaves, but we can put ourselves into a position where we are beholden to somebody, or we're an economic slave because of the things that we have agreed to or bought. So you just consider all these things for how you live and act in the coming new year. Remember that you are the one who is responsible for yourself. Nobody else is. You are responsible. And that's something that we have learned all through history, where people get sentenced for the crimes that they do. They go to prison. They go to have some penalty. And then there is, I think of the responsibility of what we are held to, yes, by our laws, but there's also people who have been held to a level of responsibility in war. And that started back in 1945 with the Nuremberg trials, where you could not use the excuse that I was ordered to do this crime. It was a crime against people, and they called it a crime against humanity because of the way that everything was, the way people acted. And so they had these things that they considered crimes against humanity, and you were responsible for what you did. That's something that continues as we are responsible for what we do. But like I said, those Nuremberg trials established the legal precedent where we could be held accountable for our actions, even if we were under orders. That was not something that would excuse us from what we did. Well, we want to make the good decisions, and sometimes those situations are complex, they involve a lot, and we need to really think things through to try to understand the things that we do. Even in the heat of war or the heat of passion, we still are responsible for what we do. So don't get in trouble. Do things that are right and reasonable according to God and His laws. And then we do pretty good at getting along with people. Don't let things set off your emotions. I mean, this is a huge matter when we think about what evil somebody has done. Or what would we do if we suddenly saw Hitler or Himmler or Rommel or one of the people who really did bad things, Hirohito? Just every culture has had bad people. Would we react and want to murder them for what they did? Or would we let society have their justice and have our hands clean of that? It's a good question. I don't mean I have the answer, because we have all sorts of situations where people are killed, murdered, and worse. And what are we going to do about it? Well, let's hold our society to a standard that God has. And that's kind of the best thing we could do. I know that there are always questionable circumstances that are made a big deal about, so that it resolves a person's guilt of what they have done. Maybe that's your situation. I don't know. But we all find excuses. And sometimes they're just plain reasons. Sometimes we were told it was a good idea to give this child a vaccine, and then we find out, oh, the vaccine caused a lifelong difficulty. Or what about now with this experimental vaccine going on for COVID-19? Who's responsible for that? You know, there are plenty of people who have, just days after being given the vaccine, they have dropped dead. Healthy people, like athletes, and airline pilots, people in very good health, they have been people who have dropped dead, just like people around us. It happens that the things that we think are okay really are not. And that's what I'm trying to say. What if we are responsible for an accident? What if we are responsible for our children getting vaccinated and having a lifelong trouble? Who is going to hold us responsible for that? Well, I don't mean I know the answers. I just mean we have questions, and we better kind of figure out things so that we can do the best that we can do, the most likely. Speaking about that vaccine, there is a video that has been going around called Died Suddenly. And it is based on people who have gotten their vaccine and really died, I mean, like a day later or two. It's kind of a documentary. Now, there are people who say that movie is not good, and they say that it really does not cite good examples. The examples it cites are unsubstantiated. And you know what? The people who are critical of that video Died Suddenly also don't use examples that would hold up for them. So we've got things going on right now that are just plain questions. And it is a question about what are the standards that we are held to. What if we accidentally harm somebody? What if we accidentally harm our child? Will they sue us? Well, what if the government accidentally harms us? Are we going to sue them? What if they tell you, like they do for our military people, to jump out of an airplane so many times, and then you're injured in the course of doing that? Well, what's voluntary and what is under orders? We have questions for all of this. Not that I know the answers, but you better have a good look at it and see what it is that you are going to do or stand for in the midst of these problems. There have been plenty of physicians who have supported the analysis of that movie Suddenly Died. I'm sorry, it's opposite, Died Suddenly. And it really makes you wonder if that experimental vaccine was reasonable to give people. Especially, it was said that you have to take this or you will lose your job. That's what many of the people that were business people in large corporations did. That's what our military did. Who knows? I have been pondering this and listening to the people who, a year ago or more, they said that this vaccine was going to kill people. I don't know the answer to that, but I know that however long our life is, we want to make sure that we have a relation with Jesus Christ. So if we're going to live for 7 years, 27 years, 87 years, the point is have your relationship with Jesus Christ right, so that if you pass before you expect, you will have your spiritual relationship with Jesus good and correct. So have that. And then if there's something about the physical questions and we all die suddenly, it's kind of okay knowing that we won't go to hell. We'll have a heavenly eternity because of our relation with Jesus Christ. So that's something for each one of us to think of. And I hope you think about it. On that Died Suddenly video, they had people on that would talk about growth in the blood circulatory system. And just a few days ago, there was a pathologist with reputation named Dr. Ryan Cole, and he went on an internet platform to say that there are foot-long growths in blood vessels of people who have died suddenly. So realize that if you've had that vaccine, or if you're just a regular person, anything can happen. Have your relation with Jesus Christ settled. And if you do, die suddenly, then you'll be at least with some level of comfort so that you can have a peace about you with that. Whether it is vaccine caused or not, I don't know. I know this is one of the first places I heard it, where there was somebody who had the Vatican, a newspaper that was a cyber, and it was called Out of Rome. And that's where I first heard that this vaccine was going to kill people. Well or not, I don't know. But there are questions with it, including what is in the vaccine that nobody knows. There's questions about what its contents are and if it's going to actually harm people or not. We always have questions about these things. It doesn't mean we know the answers, but the one of the ingredients that is rumored to be in it is graphene oxide, and you will get people who talk about graphene oxide, but no, look this information up for yourself. It is a mixed question. There's really lots of material out there on graphene oxide. Don't just listen to the people who go on a video platform and tell you about what's in it and what it'll do. There's a whole lot of searching that we can do to find real information. But the foot-long growths in the blood vessels is something that really is a question. And there's been other physicians beside that, Dr. Ryan Cole, who have said that this is going on. So I hope that you have a look into that and just make a decision for what you ought to be doing, and including what happens if you were to die, because we all are going to die. It's just a question of when. So have a look at that and just see what you see. I don't know that anybody is responsible for another's death like that, because it's been said all along it was an experimental vaccine. So yeah, have a look and you decide what the truth of the matter is. I'm not sure, but it is a question, because no long-term testing was done, and this makes it quite dangerous to do. Anyway, that's so many people took it under threat of being fired, whether they were in the medical profession or the United States military. A lot of people were forced to take it or lose their jobs. So who is responsible for what? I don't know. Are we all just responsible for what happens to us? Who knows? Are you able to say no if somebody says, you lose your job if you don't take this? Well, what if it comes to that? Are you able to say no? I mean, we're only free if we can say yes or we can say no to doing what somebody tells us to do. So just consider that when it comes time for you to make a decision about what you are going to do. Good question. It's not that I know it, but there's unknowns in life, and we make the best decisions that we can for the time, and then the results happen for whatever they are. Well, speaking about what happens and the consequences of the decisions we make, I think of Matthew 7:13, which tells us the road to hell is wide and the road to heaven is narrow, and few there be that find it. So I think about those things, and I know that I want to be on the road to heaven, not hell. And therefore, I have studied and looked and made sure that I'm doing as much as I can understand to line my life up with what Christ would want me to do. So that's something I think we all need to do when we are examining life and death and what we ought to do. So I say, yeah, look for what God, Jesus, wants you to do. Have your spiritual of preparedness all lined up. And to me, that says, I have a relation with Jesus, and I'm living according to the will as best that I know how. So do that. I think if we were going to knock on the door of heaven and Jesus would say, who are you? I'd say, I'm John Stephenson. Oh, well, why should I let you into my heaven? And what are you going to say? Because Pastor said I should? Because Pastor said I was saved? Because the guy on the radio said if you accept Jesus, you are in heaven? What are you going to say? Are you going to say Billy Graham saved my soul? No, I think you're going to say it's because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And therefore, I am righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ and the suffer that he did on the cross to pay for my sin debt. That's why you should let me into heaven. Not from anything I've done, it's from what you've done, and I accept your gift to me. So therefore, that's why I should be let into heaven. Well, a part of that is also repenting, which means turning from your sin. You confess your sin, and then you turn from it, and then you come to Jesus. That's what I see the order of things is, and we want to have a life that is living according to Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. And sometimes we don't want the consequences that should come to us. And we are forgiven for some of the, we are forgiven for the sin that we do when we confess it and repent. The thing is that can still have effects on our life, and that the effects of our sin will also affect our life. So let's make next year a better life than this year. So let us seek God and do the will of God more than our own will. And that will probably make a better life, because I think God is more capable of knowing what is good. And for us to do what is good, I really think that that is what we want to do. So let's make that decision and commitment to seek God and do his will as best we know how. Yes, we prepare in that spiritual sense. And yes, we prepare in the physical sense, because when we prepare physically, it makes things a whole lot easier for us to have our basic needs just right at hand. And I think of water and food and warmth. Do you have a little food in case you have a need? Do you have a little food for you to give away if somebody's hungry? Now, I'm talking about basic food here. I don't mean the expensive whatever it would be, frozen food or MREs or whatever it would be. I'm just talking about basic food. Do you have a few cups of rice so that you can have something in your stomach in case you or someone else get hungry? That's what I think about. So I hope you do think about such things as your physical needs, and then just have things on hand. It's nice to be able to share things that other people need too, whatever it is. Water, food, warmth. Sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes it's a piece of paper and pen so that they can write something down, write a letter. Do they need a stamp? There's no limit to what kind of things you might need. All I know is that you do something, and you do what you can, and you trade people for what they have. Hey, you want a cup of rice? Give me a few stamps, and we'll trade. You want oil for your chainsaw? Well, let's trade. I have a file to sharpen the saw with. You have the fuel. Let's trade. Well, there are just all sorts of things we can do if we get into those really hard times. And according to history, they're going to happen. It's not that I have that real knowledge, but I've studied history a lot, and I can see this is really, really likely. So let's get a little prepared. I think of our life and how it's changed in the last 20 years. You think of what 20 years ago, what did you need to do? Oh, no, let's go back further. Let's go back 120 years. And then we think about what was required of us at that time. Did we need a driver's license to drive? No. Did we need a hunting license to hunt? No. Did we need a marriage license to get married? No. Did we need a permit to replace our water heater? No. What about electrical work or a roof or any plain old simple maintenance? We didn't need anything. There were no building permit fees. There were no permits and licenses that you needed. You didn't need a license to sell real estate. You didn't need a license to do health things like hair or tattoos or anything like that. No, it was a freer country then. And now, what are we doing? We need licenses and to pay fees for this and that. Not to mention real estate taxes. I mean, that's a big one. There's just things that have changed in the last 120 years. Is your attitude that we are so grateful that they are keeping us safe? Or is your attitude that I will do what I will do to keep myself safe? Well, that's a question of all the permits and fees and licenses. Are they going to look after you, or are you going to look after yourself and keep yourself safe? Well, it's a question, and look at what society has done. Look at what government has turned into. Look at all these things and see, well, what do I want in my life? Do I want to pay for all the protection that they give me? They make sure that everything is good and safe because they have rules and requirements, and all I have to do is pay the fees time after time after time to replace my water heater, to do anything, to care for my mother or father. Do I need a license for that? What about babysitting, daycare? I'm not sure about any of these, but you know that they are going to keep adding requirements because they get the fees and they get the control of our life. When we say, okay, give me a license and you keep me safe, or are you going to keep yourself safe? Is there a real question about this? Of course there are questions. But it still is a matter of what are we going to do to our children and the next generations. If we think it's good to have permits and licenses and fees to do all that, where is it going to stop? Are we going to require bakers and meat cutters? Oh, I guess we do. But the thing is, where is it going to stop? Is it just going to continue and everybody needs a license to do this? Everybody needs to be government inspected? Is this the world that we are creating for our children? So when we look to our future, like we do at the end of every year, at the end of every year, we say, what is going to be in store for us next year? I hope it'll be a better year. That's what so many people say. I want next year to be better than this year. Well, then do something to make it better. Think, plan, and do about what it is you want. We keep getting ourselves in trouble by what we agree to. So many people seem oblivious to what our concerns really are. I mean, look at our national debt. Look at our personal debt. Everybody has debt, yes, for the house that they live in, yes, for the credit cards that they pay things with, yes, for the car that they buy. All these things are debt. Now, what happens if one month you are unable to pay? It sure makes it tough. Can you survive it? A lot of people cannot survive going without income for 1, maybe 2 months. And that's not so different from our country. We have a $30 trillion national debt. $30 trillion. And you know how those bankers are. If you owe it, they will make sure that you pay it. And if you don't pay it, they will take the collateral. You know what that's like. They take your house, they take your car, they take your credit cards, whatever it is. They take your income. They say, I'm going to your employer, and I am, what do they call that when they take your money from your directly from your employee? I'm sorry, employer. And so the employer will write a check to the agency that is owed the debt, and you don't even see it. That's the world we're heading into. What do you want to see happen? I'm thinking about Thomas Jefferson, and he said it in a different way, but this is what the basics of what he said was if you put our central banks and banks around us, that they will rise up, and then our children and our grandchildren will wake up as penniless slaves in a land that their forefathers once owned. So I wish I could remember that quote just word for word, but that's kind of how it goes, that we are becoming enslaved, and our income is becoming enslaved, and our future generations are becoming enslaved. I mean, $30 trillion is a lot of debt that we are putting our country into. Here's my comparison in seconds. I think of this as a way of comprehending the immensity of $30 trillion. I do it in seconds. Okay, so let's go to 1 billion. 1 billion seconds is 12 days. 1 billion, it goes million, billion, trillion. Okay, so 1 million seconds is 12 days, 1 billion seconds is 32 years, and 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. It's an amazing, immense amount of debt that we are putting ourselves and our children and grandchildren into. I don't see how it can even be paid off. It's so huge. It is practically beyond what we can conceive as currency, as money. It's something that is so immense. Million, billion, trillion. 12 days, 32 years, 32,000 years. And we are just increasing our national debt. That's what our politicians continually do. They raise our national debt ceiling and our debt. It's a debt to the people, not to the politicians. Our politicians, they don't have any liability in it, but the people of the country do. So you may not understand how serious this is and what it means. Our politicians may not understand or recognize what it means. But you can be sure that the international bankers who are making these loans do understand. And they understand the law, which ensures that they will get paid, or they will get the real estate and assets in order to pay them for the debt. So the international bankers, they're going to get rich off of their loans, but we're going to have to pay the price, we the people. Do you remember Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum? The World Economic Forum put out a video in 2016 which said, "You will own nothing and be happy." Klaus Schwab has said that, and other people from the World Economic Forum have said that. You will own nothing and be happy. You want to rent your bike for the weekend? You want to rent your washing machine, so much per month. It's a question of where are we headed to? We have a country where we used to be independent and free, and now it's not working that way. The elite internationalists are preparing all of us to own nothing and be happy. Do you think you will be happy if you own nothing? No responsibility. Oh, that'll be great. Yes, well, that's something for all of us to try to figure out where this is going. And are you going to be able to protest the direction of it? Probably not. If you have any choice at all, it will probably be for you to not go into debt at all, period. Have no credit card debt, have no house debt, have no appliance, car debt, or anything else. It's a trap. Debt is a trap. And if you remember Sri Lanka a few years ago, China lent them the money, and that is what was called a debt trap because Sri Lanka, the country, couldn't pay China back for the improvements that were made to its port facility in Sri Lanka. So China got buildings and assets on that port property. That's just the way law goes. International law, yes. Mortgage law, all of it. The people who loan the money are going to get their money back. And that's something that we, the American people, ought to be aware of, because when we have a $30 trillion debt, somebody is going to have to pay it back, and it's not going to be the government. It is going to be we, the people. So, how much time do we have? When are the debts going to be due? What will you do that you can't do now? The debt will only increase as we owe interest on it every hour of every day. It just increases by the millions, by the billions. So how do we deal with that as a people? Are we going to just say, yes, legislators, yes, senators, yes, congressmen, you just go making the plans that you make, continue putting our country into debt, and we will pay it? Is that what it's going to be? Or are we going to say, oh, no, I resist this. But how are we able to resist? Not very well. In fact, I don't know that we can at all. So how do we prepare? Well, we prepare our own selves by staying out of debt, period. No debt, no loans. Doesn't sound very fun either. Because after all, if I can't get a loan to buy my house, how am I going to buy my house? You think I'm going to save up of hundreds of thousands of dollars just to buy my house? Well, you're going to pay one way or another. And so there's not any real answers to what is best for you, but you sure better be aware that any debt is bad for you. Oh, there are. I mean, it's so clearly going to happen. It's what happens in a circumstance of debt. And it's the Bible tells us about that. The Bible says not to be in debt and don't sign for another man's debt. It's clear as can be right in our Bible. But what are we doing about it? Well, let's just stay free as long as we can, because when we encumber ourselves with debt, when we allow debt to build up, it's not going to be good. And we are just spending by saving. What we're doing in Ukraine is sending billions of dollars. I think it's up to $100 billion now in cash dollars and in military equipment to Ukraine. And isn't that a good thing? We all want to support freedom, but in the midst of war, is that the time to send people armaments? I'm not sure. But I know it's a danger to get into debt for $100 billion of the equipment that we're sending them. I bet we are sorry now that we left all that equipment. Biden left all that equipment in Afghanistan. It just small arms, howitzers, vehicles, helicopters, all sorts of things. Biden said, we're going to pull out of Afghanistan and leave all this equipment behind. That's what we did. Not very wise, was it? And it was not wise the way it happened. Somehow, all these things are adding to our debt. And we have to remember that it's going to affect us and our children, our grandchildren. But what are we going to do about this war question? Just get into more and more debt? Apparently so. Are we ever going to say, like Winston Churchill said in World War II to the English people, he said, never, never, never surrender. Is that what we're going to do? Are we going to surrender in our debt, or are we going to surrender in our armaments? Of course, we have to resist evil. That's a biblical thing, too. And one of the things that we learn through history is what happens when evil prevails, and that the people who are good do nothing. We have habits that are going on right now, habits of spending all the money we have. So are we really going to be surprised at our politicians spending all of our money? Well, somehow we have to change the way things are. And we learn our lessons sometimes through examples with our own self, sometimes through history, and sometimes through reading the Bible. And I think it would be really great for us to read the Bible and obey it. And then we could live as a free people. That's one of the things our founding fathers did. They studied the Bible, and they knew the difference between freedom and slavery. And they said, we want to be free, and the Bible gives us examples of how we can be free. No, in those days, people didn't spend a lot of money, and there were people who said you can't tax people and then give the money to other people. That's immoral. So if we have welfare or health programs, we ought to not pay other people's money to support that. That's one of the principles that our country was founded on. And if that was lived out, then all the things that cost so much would not cost so much because they can't. People couldn't afford a doctor or a college education, and so the cost would drop extremely much. And that's a part of the problem with our inflated money. We get more and more money, and we spend more and more also. It's not going to be an easy solution. We are in the middle of having to deal with our debt and settle our debt. Won't be easy to make these payments. And while we look forward to everything being wonderful and great in the new year, we have to realize that we brought troubles with us. Look at the debt that we have, individually, corporately, and governmentally. Everybody is in debt, and we are going to be in a big, big problem if one day we can't get any more money. Then what? Well, I think we'll be taken over by the international bankers. And what that means? Well, we all have a different idea, and I encourage you to look to see what will happen. Now, there is still things we can do to help the poor and the helpless and the downtrodden people in our country and in the world. But we do that from a position of the generosity of our hearts. And if we were to give to causes, I think the American people would give generously. And then our money would not inflate the way it has, and it would be much better for our country and our economy. Now, in this coming year, we want to re-examine how to look to the future and what to do. Do you have a plan? Are there things you want to have happen or don't want to have happen? Well, there's always preparation that we can do. And what that preparation is will be different for everybody. Some people will be able to save a lot, some people a little. And the thing is we have a reserve with the things that we normally need. What's that? Is it food? Yes, of course. Is it water? Yes, of course. Do you have a water filter? I hope you do. What about any other needs that you have? I always say warmth. Do you have clothes and a sleeping bag for in case you get cold? I mean, that's kind of the basics of what you need, water, food, and warmth. Maybe a mechanic will need tools. Maybe an electrician will need meters and some electrical wire and a wire cutter. The thing is you look at things that are basic, and then you fill in with, after that, with the things that you want. And we are all different. There's nobody who knows what you want better than you do. So I hope you do that. I want to tell you about Bible reading just briefly. I used to read the Bible in the morning to the children when they were young. And we got too busy. There was no time to read the Bible. So the only thing that I could do after a while was to say, no Bible, no breakfast. But there were days that were just so busy. Just things had to get done. We had to get to it. And so that no Bible, no breakfast turned into, well, we're going to all sit down and read one verse of the Bible, just one sentence. And that was as much as could be done because there were too many pressures of that particular day. Nothing else we could do. One verse. And then we would mark it and know where to start the next day. We all sat down at the table, and sometimes we could read a chapter or two. And other days, it was just a couple of verses, a few sentences. That's all there was time for. But the habit was very important to build. So we had our Bibles right on the table, and we all would maybe read one verse, just one verse. Sometimes a chapter, sometimes two chapters. All was different, but that rule of no Bible, no breakfast was, well, it was really a good thing for me and my family. So if we all do things different, I know that. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying that it's a hard thing to develop a habit when you have so many pressures of each and every day. And it's a good thing to read that Bible in the morning, because then you get to have a Bible verse in your heart for the day. There is something about starting the day out with God, Jesus. And so we ended up reading that Bible. Ooh, yes. It was over the course of a couple of years, a few years actually. And we did read the Bible twice at just like that. Let's just say a chapter a day, sometimes a verse, sometimes several chapters. All was different depending on the day. But it was a great habit to get into. And I hope you get into a habit of reading the Bible. That was really very good for me and my family, because then we actually read it. And it got remembered by the children. That was a really good thing. It's better to read more than one verse, but even if it's one verse, it is one verse to show that what is important in your day is talking to God for even one sentence. And at the beginning of the day, it's good. So I hope you have just an examination of how you can read the Bible. It's got so much good information in it, so many good lessons. And you look at the heroes of the Bible, of the Old Testament, like Samuel could be one, David and Goliath, what happened with the kings, what happened with situations. I mean, there's a lot of value that you can teach children just by reading it. So that's good. That's good. So I hope you do that little bit of Bible reading every day. We all need that. Me too. I look things up a lot and read things in a longer amount. But it's just good to have that one verse a day. And then you get to know where things are in the Bible. It gets to be a whole lot easier when you want to look up an idea, double-check your impression of something. It's just a lot of good things to just get into that habit of understanding where things are. There's some scriptures in John that I'm especially fond of, too. We all have something we like. And by the way, that's a danger. If you only quote the scripture you like and you forget about the rest, well, that's just not the best way to do it. So I hope you have a fun time reading the Bible, because it's a learning experience, and it's building a relation with God Jesus. And you get to know the character of God, the character of Jesus, and this is something that's also valuable for what are you going to stand for in your life. Are there some things that are just plain important, and you're going to stand and hold firm to those beliefs? That's another thing that the Bible teaches us. You just want to read it thoroughly and read it well. Now, I'm always glad for people to tune in to the radio broadcast. I hope you listen to Christ Today. And if you want to listen again, go to www.christtoday.org. And I'm so glad that you are tuning in today. If you want to have a donation, that would be great, to pay for a radio time. All things are really some good stuff going on. So to write to me, my P.O. Box is John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Always glad to hear from you, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.